It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Every year around this time, we conduct a five-part series featuring the individual Tuolumne County supervisors focusing on issues in their specific district and the county as a whole. It's a chance to hear straight from the decision makers about local actions. We're kicking things off with District 5 Supervisor Carl Rotifer this weekend. Supervisor Rotifer, thank you for joining us.
Well, BJ, thank you for having me, and always enjoy talking to the people, and always appreciate Motherlode Views and the opportunity.
So first off, District 5, for anybody who's not familiar, where does it all cover?
Well, basically Columbia, Tuttletown, Jamestown, and down 108, 120, all the way to the Stanislaus County line. If you take the northern border, the northern jurisdictional line of the city of Sonora, and it skirts that, and it goes to the New Melones Reservoir and Stanislaus River.
Unique opportunity to have two state parks in your district as well.
Oh, yeah. That's always great. Actually, it's a very, very good thing. I think they both bring a good amount of business in, although that's been down because of the COVID issues and stuff. But they're great venues, and they say a lot about our history, and I always enjoy visiting them, and I know a lot of residents in the county do as well as the people that travel here.
So when you look at District 5, you know, what would you say are some of the specific issues right now that you're looking at and working on?
Well, beyond some of the issues that I know you'll probably address later, the ones that I call them the almost routine issues, obviously roads, that's always one. We're doing the best we can with the road funding that we've got. And, of course, with COVID, a lot of gas tax money has gone down. Revenue has gone down statewide. So that has some impact on us. Two that I'm working pretty hard on right now in general. I won't be specific about them, but I've got a multitude of code compliance issues. Unfortunately, the county only has a single code compliance inspector right now. We're trying to fix that. And I'm not the only county that has code compliance. I'm not the only district that has code compliance issues. So I have to share the limited wealth there a little bit. I've got three different, what I'll call them, traffic calming zones that I'm concerned about and have been working for several months on. Two of them in Jamestown, well, one of them in Jamestown I've been working for a long time. Another one I've just started working. Obviously, Main Street in Jamestown with the traffic light synchronization issues that we're dealing with Caltrans on, and the whole relocation of the Rawhide Bridge and all of that stuff project. People are taking shortcuts through Main Street to try and bypass the lights and stuff, and they're flying down that street, and it really is unsafe. We've got cars parked on both sides of the street. Someone jumps out from behind a car. There's only about 2 foot clearance between the car they're jumping out from behind and the car that's going to hit them. So it really is a very unsatisfactory and dangerous situation. And we just had a meeting had a meeting on Monday with the community leaders down there, the business leaders and stuff, and talking about what some of the options are. The other one that came to a head just recently is, as you mentioned, the park, over by the park in Jamestown Elementary School. And apparently a lot of people are on Fifth Avenue or whistling through there at a high rate of speed. And so we're going to start looking at what we can do to maybe encourage them to slow down there. The third one has been one that we've been trying to deal with. We have to deal with the park as well. Is over in the Columbia area there, between the Mercantile and the St. Charles Saloon, right there where the stop sign is in the park there. people use that road as a bypass around from coming from the college and all of that stuff, as well as residents that live up in Big Hill. And they come roaring into town, and we need them to slow down a little bit. There's a lot of kids that are cutting across to go up to, you know, the school up there to see a historical schoolhouse and stuff. And so it's a problem, and we're trying to deal with that. Other than that, the normal development and worrying about our businesses and making sure that they can make ends meet and potentially grow and stuff like that.
Those traffic lights near downtown Jamestown, is it a simple situation of just trying to get better timing on the lights, or is it more complicated of an issue?
It's really more complicated of an issue. We've changed the timing on it several times. It is better now than it was initially. There's still times that it backs up, and honestly, I probably go through that area at least once a day, and very frequently multiple times a day. My wife has her business in the new market that went into the old Harley building, and so, you know, I have multiple reasons, not just being a supervisor, but personal, to be down in there. And there's not really a predictable traffic pattern. I mean, the obvious ones are predictable, you know, the morning traffic, commuter traffic, and the afternoon commuter traffic. But a lot of times in the middle of the day, it'll just back up. It clears out fairly quickly, but if you get caught in it, it's frustrating. And so people do take Main Street as sort of a bypass. That's okay, but they need to just drive, you know, that's 25 miles going through there, and 25 miles an hour is too fast, quite frankly. You ought to be down around 15 miles an hour. So, but it is a 25-mile-an-hour zone, and people are going through there at 35, and it's just way too fast.
You mentioned business as well. You've been involved with most of the business webinars designed to assist local businesses during COVID-19. You know, how do you feel businesses are doing right now, and do you feel the state? How do you feel the state has handled the various COVID restrictions in place?
I'm really not happy with the COVID restrictions. I think the analysis that they're doing is incomplete. They're not. The analysis is fine for urban centers and more dense populated areas, but, you know, Tuolumne County is not the city and county of San Francisco. You know, San Francisco has roughly 18,756 residents per square mile. The population density of Tuolumne County is about 24 residents per square mile. So if you just do what I was taught was conflict theory. Density is a big factor that's not in that. And by conflict, I don't mean fighting. I mean just coming in contact with people or anything, okay? So at 25 people per square mile, or 24 residents per square mile, the number of encounters and frequency of encounters here with other people is much less than it is in a city like San Francisco with almost 19,000 residents per square mile. So, you know, they're not even factoring that in to the threat of of contracting the disease. So I'm not real happy with that. And I, you know, what I am seeing dramatically is the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer in terms of businesses. The big dogs, the Walmarts and the Lowe's and all of those folks, the Save Marts, the Safeways, they're all doing fine. But the little mom and pop shops are not doing so fine. And especially the restaurants and bars, I don't know if you don't have a fenced in yard kind of situation or patio or something, I don't know how bars do outside drinking. Because you're not supposed to be walking around with an open container outdoors, you know, and how do you demarcate an area that they can do that? Restaurants, a lot of the restaurants just shut down when it went outside dining only. now they're back indoor dining. They can open back up, but even that 50% of capacity, that's the wrong metric. The metric ought to be how many tables can you have, whatever distance apart you want to make it, eight feet, 6 feet, whatever. The metrics that they're using, the benchmarks that they're setting, just don't make any sense to me. And there's no way to really impact that analysis, so there's no way to impact the result.
This issue of density in the rural communities, have you heard at all, like the organizations like RCRC, are they taking up this issue at all and pushing it at the state capitol?
Well, interesting you should ask. I just talked to our CAO, and apparently another county has already sent a letter to the governor, not specifically addressing the density, but talking about the different dynamics. That would be one of them, of rural counties versus urban or suburban counties. The state, the governor, God bless him, he talked a lot about localism is determinism, but he's not letting us make those kinds of decisions and determine what the factors are that are important in our local environment. He's putting out a one-size-fits-all solution. Yeah, it's four tiers, and so some people are in one tier and other people are in another tier, but the tiers are the same whether you're San Francisco or L.A. or whether you're Tuolumne or Alpine. So it doesn't make sense to me.
Need to take a break. We're talking with Carl Rota, first supervisor for District 5 on this weekend's Mother Load Views, the first in a five-part series focusing on the individual supervisors. Next week, we'll be joined on the telephone by District 1 Supervisor Sherry Brennan. Mother Load Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.